O Lord, open thou my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Oh, come, let us worship the Lord.
For He is our
Maker. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us sing joyful words to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving.
We continue with hymn 380. Please be seated.
Thank you.
And please rise for confession and absolution, which is inserted in the front of our hymnal. Do you humbly confess and heartily lament all your sins? Then declare so by saying, I do.
I do.
Do you believe that God, your merciful Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Savior, pardons all your offenses? Then declare so by saying, I do believe.
I do believe.
Are you resolved, as long as God gives you life, to live that life in his fear and to his glory? Then declare so by saying, I am resolved.
I am resolved.
Then let it be for you according to your faith. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
This morning's responsive psalm reading is Psalm 98, which is found on page 144. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song.
For he hath done marvelous things.
His right hand and his holy arm.
And
the Lord hath made known his salvation. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth.
Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise.
Sing unto the Lord with the harp.
With the harp and the voice of song.
With trumpets and sound of cornet.
Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King.
Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord.
For he cometh to judge the earth.
With righteousness shall he judge the world.
And the people with equity.
And please be seated. This morning's confessional reading, continuing from Luther's large catechism, the Fourth Commandment. Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. Young people must therefore have it impressed upon them that they should look to their parents as representatives of God and bear in mind that, however humble, poor, infirm, or eccentric they may be, our father and mother are nevertheless God's gifts to us. They are not to be robbed of their honor because of any peculiarities or failures. We are not to be influenced by their persons, whatever these may be, but rather by the will of God, who has created and ordained their parental relationship to us. In other respects, we are all, it is true, equal in the eyes of God, but in our relationships with each other, we cannot do without inequalities and regular distinctions of this sort. God, therefore, commands that that these be observed and that you be obedient to me as your father and recognize my authority over you. First, then, learn what it means to honor parents as this commandment requires. It means that you are above all to prize and value them as earth's greatest treasure. Next, in speaking to them, you are to behave respectfully. Never address them in a rude, taunting, or challenging manner. But give in to them and hold your tongue even when they go a little too far. Third, it means of your actions, both physical and financial, that you are to show them honor by serving them, helping them, and providing for them when they are sick, old, infirm, or poor. All this you should do not only willingly, but also with humility and respect as one who is under the scrutiny of God. For one whose heart has the right attitude toward parents will not let them suffer need or go hungry, but will put them ahead of himself, stand at their side, and share with them everything that he has to the best of his ability. So far, the confessional reading. This morning's Old Testament, Hosea chapter 13. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. So far the Old Testament lesson. This morning's epistle, Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done so, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So far, the epistle lesson. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 4. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water into wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him, and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said unto him, Except you see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe. The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down, otherwise my child will die. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Your son lives. Then required he of them the hour when he began to get well. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same time in which Jesus said unto him, Your son lives, and himself believed and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. So far, the Holy Gospel. This morning we confess the Apostles' Creed, which is found on page 12. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done so, stand. Whenever we sing, stand up for Jesus, I can't help think about Luther, who stood against the emperor, stood against the pope, without budging one inch, saying, Here I stand, I can do nothing else. But it also reminds me of times when I had a chance to stand up for Jesus and fell flat on my face, more times than I would like to admit. How does one stand instead of falling? You see, the problem that all of us have is that the more we rely on our own strength, the more certain we are going to fall. And the more we rely on God's strength, the more certain that we are going to stand. In other words, we need spiritual strength. We need spiritual equipment that only can come from God. The most important truth for us to know, and the hardest to accept, is that those who rely on their own strength, they will never stand. Almost every major sport requires strength building as a part of their continuing process. Because the stronger one is, the more likely the person is going to win, come out on top, be able to stand rather than fall. Now, people might be impressed with physical strength, but God is not. This morning's epistle urges us to be strong. It's not talking about physical strength. Paul is very clear. Paul says, "Be strong in the Lord and in his might." Being strong physically is of far less importance than being strong in the Lord. The value of physical strength has its limits. Physical strength cannot be counted on to either save or to preserve, because accidents and illness takes the lives of the strong as well as the weak. Like Psalm 33 declares, strength cannot save, but the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, and those who hope in his unfailing love to deliver them from death. The reason that our own strength will not help us one bit is that the battle that we are fighting is not with people, but with spiritual wickedness. This morning's epistle is very clear about who the enemy is. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil that are in heavenly places. That's a very interesting passage. I think we discussed it once in Bible study. I'm not going to go into detail, but evil is real. The devil is real. The enemy is the devil, and all of his spiritual followers. His cunningness can be traced back to Adam and Eve, to this very present day, as a matter of fact, to this present hour. What person is there, except Christ himself, who has been able to stand successfully against the devil? No one. Saint Peter warns, he says, "Be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Because the devil is the enemy, human strength is ineffective in that battle. Our strength may be effective when we're dealing with people, but is totally ineffective when we're dealing with the devil, because he uses weapons against us which we have no protection. And he is very successful. To stand against the devil, we need spiritual strength. We need spiritual equipment from the Lord, which he gives us. The Lord is strong. His strength has been demonstrated by his victory over the devil. The devil tempted our Lord to sin, but our Lord did not fall. Adam and Eve fell when they were tempted. All of us have fallen. But when Jesus was driven out into the wilderness by the Spirit of God, that's a very important statement. He was driven out into the wilderness by the Spirit of God to meet the devil, to meet the devil in combat, and our Lord did not fall. Jesus stood successfully against the devil's temptation. He did it by relying on the Word of God. It is written. Every time he defeated the temptation of the devil, he said, "It is written." The evening before, Jesus went through his nightmare of that final suffering and crucifixion, he was tempted to call it quits, not go through with it. And who would blame him? But again, Jesus went to his Father. He went to his Father this time in prayer, and he asked for his Father's will to be done. Not his will, but his Father's will to be done. And he stood the test of time. Jesus Christ did not fall. Our Lord also demonstrated his strength and power over the devil by absorbing in himself all the punishment of sin, permitting himself to be crucified there upon that cross, dying for the sins of the world, dying for your sins and for my sins. And that act broke the devil's hold on us. Satan can no longer successfully accuse us or anyone of sin. He's going to try. Because in Jesus Christ, all of us have the one who has paid the price over everyone's sin. Because of Christ's death and resurrection, the devil is powerless to condemn anyone who trusts in Jesus Christ, because by faith we are saved. But that's not all. Our Lord provides us with the strength and the equipment that we need so that we also can stand. He gives us armor. The emphasis again is that it is not our armor. It is God's armor. "Put on the full armor of God," writes St. Paul, "so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme and be victorious." You see, God's armor, not our armor, enables us to stand firm. And equipped with his armor, the gospel, faith, salvation, the word of God, we can stand firm. There is no trouble from which we cannot deliver, that he cannot deliver us. His strength stands beside us at all times, whether we invoke it or not. Our Father in heaven can help us to stand firm, not fall. He has the strength. Let him hold us with his mighty hand. May God grant us this understanding and this blessing. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this morning and extend itself into the joys of eternal life, heaven. Amen.
Amen.
And please be seated. pray for our communicants. Lord Jesus Christ, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them and give rest unto their souls, we pray. Let us this morning experience your love at the heavenly feast, which you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief, so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament to their damnation. Take off from us the spotted garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
We continue our liturgy on page 35 with the Te Deum Laudamus.
Thank you.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings be ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. We pray this through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Amen.
And please be seated.
Drink the blood of Christ. Drink the blood of Christ. Thank you.
May this body and blood strengthen, preserve you, keep you in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen.
And please join me in the Psalm of Thanksgiving, the 23rd. Please rise. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We thank you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this blessed and life-giving gift, and we earnestly pray that of your mercy, that you would strengthen us through this holy meal of faith toward you, in love toward all mankind, in patience under the trials that we must face in this life, and in the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.
Amen.